Lesson 31, Resurrection of Evil. This lesson begins on page 229 of your book. This audio text version contains the reading of any listed footnotes. The Antichrist will allow his body double, to lie in repose for 2 days. His security forces will prevent any persons from getting too close. They will likely put the body in a glass case, to keep curious seekers away. This is akin to Jesus, being placed immediately inside the tomb, with soldiers present. It would be an unmitigated disaster, were the public to discover the body, is not that of the Antichrist. Footnote number 209, Matthew, chapter 27, verse 64. Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure, until the third day, otherwise his disciples may come and steal him away, and say to the people, "He has risen from the dead," and the last deception will be worse than the first. End of footnote. Then, on the third day, the Antichrist will stage his own resurrection from among the dead. It's important to make note that no person observed the actual resurrection of Jesus. For those coming to the gravesite on Sunday morning, all the signs were already present that he was not there. The rock covering the tomb was rolled away. Footnote number 210, Mark, chapter 16, verse 4. Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. End of footnote. The soldiers assigned to guard his body had fled, terrified from what they'd seen. Even the cloths used to wrap him up were lying folded within the tomb. Footnote number 211, Luke, chapter 24, verse 12. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings only. End of footnote. I believe this is similar to how the faked resurrection will happen with the Antichrist. When people show up early on the morning of Saturday, June 13, 2037, they will see his security detail will have vanished. The door to the protected enclosed glass chamber will be found wide open. The burial cloth used to cover his body will still be present, lying perhaps folded on the table. But, like with Christ, the Antichrist will be nowhere to be seen. Instead, there will be some emissary present, to tell all those who come in search of the body of the Antichrist, that he's no longer there. Footnote number 212, Mark, chapter 16, verse 6. And he said to them, "Do not be terrified, you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He is risen, he is not here, behold, here is the place where they laid him." End of footnote. They will advise all seekers to spread the word the Antichrist is risen. He's no longer dead. Footnote number 213, Mark, chapter 16, verse 7. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee, there you will see him, just as he told you. End of footnote. When people see this, they will become electrified with hope. They will have all but forgotten about the two witnesses, and their resurrection. They will go and begin telling everyone the most exciting news. The Antichrist is alive. At some point, the Antichrist will meet with a group of his followers. No doubt, it will be a staged event, held at just the right time for maximum effect. It will be televised, so that the entire world will be able to hear and see the proof, the Antichrist is indeed alive. "See my wounds on my head and neck," he will say to his followers. "Touch me, I'm real. I'm not a ghost. A ghost doesn't have skin and bones as I do." Footnote number 214, Luke, chapter 24, verse 39. "See my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself, touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." End of footnote. The assembled followers will still have difficulty believing what they are observing, despite seeing the severe wounds, which indeed appear healed. They will wonder at the scars on his body. Footnote number 215, Luke, chapter 24, verses 40 and 41. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. while they still could not believe it, because of their joy and amazement. End of footnote. The Antichrist will then say he is hungry, and ask if there is something around to eat. Footnote number 216, Luke, chapter 24, verse 41. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" End of footnote. This will be the final piece of proof that not only is he alive, but that he's fully restored. By eating something, it will show his severed head will have not only been healed, but that it's fully functional as well. Footnote number 217, Luke, chapter 24, verses 42 and 43. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and ate it before them. End of footnote. The Apostle John records what he actually saw with his eyes. Listen to Revelation, chapter 13, verse 3. I saw one of his heads, as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. Now, I've read of persons, who have had a piece of rebar, go entirely through their head and live. People have had bullets ricochet around inside their skull and emerge normal, following surgery. I guess, I'm not sure what constitutes a fatal head wound. I know that some persons have slipped on a patch of ice, falling and hitting their head and have died, with no visible damage being seen. The Bible does not describe for us the injury the Antichrist receives, only that it appears fatal. Talking with a physician friend, he said the only head injury that's fatal every time, is decapitation. No one has ever survived that. That's one reason I believe the faked fatal head wound, is some form of beheading. Using this heinous injury as the cause of his death, will eliminate speculation that he may not have died. It didn't kill him, some might have said otherwise. Because it wasn't a fatal injury. Since no one has ever survived having their head separated from their body, the Antichrist can tell the stunned world that he's the only miraculous person to have survived it. For a faked assassination, it's actually the perfect injury. People throughout the ages have proven the amazing resilience of the human body, by continuing to live long after receiving injuries, which should have killed them. But, no person has survived losing their head. It's the perfect claim that the Antichrist really died, since no one has ever lived after experiencing it. The guards around the tomb of Jesus became terrified and frozen with fear, when the angel of the Lord appeared. Footnote number 219, Matthew, chapter 28, verse 4. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. End of footnote. The security detail will likewise be frightened and petrified at the approach of some entity. They were stationed there to prevent anyone from removing the body. Whoever this being is, they will take the body, leaving the evidence behind as described. The security detail will then go to their employers with a report of the events as they happened. Footnote number 220, Matthew, chapter 28, verse 11. Now while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city, and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. End of footnote. They will be given a large sum of money, to say the Antichrist, was seen resurrecting himself. They will be the paid eyewitnesses, to help spread the story of the Antichrist's wondrous revival, worldwide. Footnote number 221, Matthew, chapter 28, verses 12 through 15. They will be handsomely rewarded to not tell the truth, that the body was stolen by forces of the Antichrist. As you can see, each event reported in the Gospel gives us details, for what the Antichrist is going to be doing. One thing we do know from Scripture, is following his faked resurrection, the Antichrist will create a program to begin forcing all people to take his mark, before they can participate in any public commerce. He will begin severing people's heads from their body, for those who attempt to bypass his system. He will do this to all persons, failing to take his mark, by swearing their allegiance to him. It will be a graphic symbol, of the punishment awaiting those refusing to worship the image of the beast, sitting within the Holy of Holies in the temple. Jesus, by his dying on the cruel cross of Calvary, paid our sin debt in full. We no longer need to suffer eternal death for our sins. Jesus paid it all, when he replaced us up on that cross. His death allowed each and every one of us to gain eternal life, through our acceptance and worship of him. Jesus told us he was the bread of life. Listen to Revelation, chapter 13, verse 3. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life, he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." The Antichrist will attempt to accomplish a remarkably similar act. He will state that his death, by decapitation, paid the price for all who agree to worship him. There will be no need for anyone to be beheaded. He has already done that for all of us. And, for all who worship him, they will be able to access the global commerce system. In essence, he will give the world the literal bread of life. Everyone who refuses to worship him, will eventually starve to death. This is the reason for him taking control over the world's commerce system. Jesus fed the 5,000, and is the bread of life. The Antichrist will starve 100 million, by pretending he is the bread of life. Don't believe it for even 1 second. Anyone taking his mark, will be eternally doomed. The Antichrist's faked resurrection will mark the end of Unholy Week. See the chart on page 198. It will have been an exciting 8 days for the bulk of humanity. Recall the Unholy Week began on Saturday, June 6, 2037, following the forces of the Antichrist, killing God's two witnesses the day prior. Remember, they appeared a little less than 1 month after the signing of the 7-year peace treaty between Israel and the Arab world. God's witnesses will appear on the 24th of December 2033. This date is exactly 1,260 days prior to when the Antichrist will be allowed to kill them. Footnote number 223, Revelation, chapter 13, verse 3. The significance of this date is Hanukkah ends on the 24th of December of that year. Hanukkah is observed for 8 nights and days, starting on the 25th day of the Jewish month of Kislev. Hanukkah can fall at any time from late November to late December. I don't think it's a coincidence that the signing happens in late November, and the witnesses appear in late December. It fits exactly with how God does things. While signing the peace treaty will be welcomed by Israel, the religious Jews will be infuriated. They will openly rebel, resisting any effort to have their temple worship adjusted. Having the sacrifice stopped by the Antichrist will be miraculously solved with the appearance of God's two witnesses at the very end of Hanukkah. The name Hanukkah can be broken down into two parts, meaning, they rested, and on the 25th, which means the name itself is actually a prophecy. The temple priests will light the menorah on the 16th, lighting each candle until the 24th. They will begin resting on the 25th. According to the Talmud, unadulterated and undefiled pure olive oil, with the seal of Kohen Gadol, the high priest, is needed for the menorah in the temple. It is needed to provide fuel, to burn the light every evening. The story goes that only one flask was found, with enough oil to burn for 1 day, yet it burned for 8 days, the amount of time needed to properly prepare a fresh supply of kosher oil for the menorah. I cannot state the menorah, inside the rebuilt temple, will remain lit for the 8 days, after the priests run out of olive oil. Only that were it to happen again, I would not be in the least bit surprised. Hanukkah is known as the Festival of Lights and the Feast of Dedication. In the Bible, oil is indicative of God's Holy Spirit. Just as with the virgins tending their lamps awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom, God is warning all Jewish citizens to be mindful of keeping the Holy Spirit near, as the only suitable preparation for the coming time of Jacob's trouble. 7 years of tribulation. Jews typically consume fried foods, such as potato pancakes and jelly donuts, to commemorate the importance of oil during the celebration of Hanukkah. Ingesting the oil is indicative of us openly inviting the Holy Spirit into our lives, via the digestion and confession of Scripture. The temple will be protected by God's two witnesses for 1,260 days. After they are killed, the Antichrist will permanently shut down the sacrifice and offering in the temple until after the return of Jesus Christ. Lesson 31, Questions for Discussion. Question 1, why will the Antichrist choose decapitation as the injury from which he will allegedly die? List your reasons. Question 2, define the meaning of the Hebrew word Hanukkah. Question 3, Jesus said, he was the bread of life. How will the Antichrist try and hijack this phrase? Question 4, explain the similarities between the resurrection of Jesus and the faked one by the Antichrist. Question 5, what is the purpose of the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah? Fully explain your answer. Chapter 6, Study Notes. This space is reserved and available within your book to make any notes you might want to record concerning any material from Chapter 6. Chapter Memory Verse, 2 Thessalonians, Chapter 2, Verses 9 and 10. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. We recommend committing this verse to memory. Simply write it out on a flashcard, with the biblical reference on one side, and the verse on the other. God blesses those who hide the word of the Lord in their heart. Congratulations on finishing chapter 6. When you're ready, you can proceed on to chapter 7, the Great Tribulation. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button twice on your browser to return to the table of contents page. Then click on the button adjacent to chapter 7. Next, click on the adjacent blue box for chapter 7, the Great Tribulation. When it opens, click on the teal colored box entitled Chapter 7 Overview to hear an introduction for the chapter. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for Chapter 7, labeled 7.0, The Great Tribulation, to hear the next lesson.